Luke chapter 1 tonight, and Pastor is homesick. Hope you keep him in your prayers, and he's going to the doctor tomorrow, or the veterinarian, whichever one it is. And I told him Monday, I said, you better go ahead and go now. Saw it coming, and but he just progressively got worse, so I do pray for him. And I told him the other day, though, I did say this, I prophesied. I told him Monday, I was like, you know, why don't you go ahead and go to the doctor now? He's like, no. Then I thought about it, and I looked at him, and I said, no, just hold off. That way I can preach Wednesday night. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for watching. So I don't want him to be sick, but hey, you know, I get to preach. I love to preach, and I appreciate Pastor letting me. I really do. I count it an honor. It humbles me to stand behind this sacred desk. And it really is. I mean, any preacher here can tell you there's not an ounce of pride that comes with this, because with this pulpit comes great responsibility. I will be held accountable for what I preach tonight. And I hold that very serious to my heart, even though I'm a lighthearted guy a lot of times. But I do appreciate it. I appreciate our church. I appreciate our pastor. And we are blessed to have the man that stands. I've never seen a more patient person. Matter of fact, it makes me angry that he's so patient sometimes. It really is. And he always sees the best in everybody. That's why he hired me, I guess. And but he does. And so I hope that you'll pray for Pastor. Make it an urgency of prayer. When you get home tonight, you have your devotions, whatever you do, pray for him before you go to bed. And I pray that God heal him. And we'll look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, which is Arabia. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. Now notice verse 6. It's amazing that more is said about Zacharias and Elizabeth than there is about Joseph and Mary. Really, what is said about Mary is that she was a virgin. But here we have really a testimony statement in the Word of God in verse 6 about two people that probably would have never made the Bible unless they would have been the parents of John the Baptist. And tonight we'll talk about the importance of Elizabeth and Zacharias. Now notice verse 6, it says, and they both were righteous before God. That means they were saved. That means they trusted in the coming Messiah. It says, in walking in all commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Look, notice that last word, blameless. That means that there was no reproach placed upon them. That matter of fact, if you study blameless, doesn't mean they were perfect. It just means that they had a great testimony, that they had an outstanding testimony in the community, and that's what is said about them. But notice verse 7, it says, and they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. That means they're getting old. Means they were past the prime. Means baby days are gone, right? I believe there were some Old Testament people that were 190. I believe Sarah thought she was done. But God did a miracle, didn't He? And we're going to see what God's going to do for them. Now notice it says, verse 8, it says, and it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. That just simply means he had a certain thing that he did. They say there was possibly three priests that went in there, and they had to work the incense and the altar there. And we're not going to get into a lot of that, but I'll talk about it here in a little bit. But notice it says his office, that the priest's office there, before God, his course. And verse 9 says, according to the custom of the priest's office. Now notice this next wording. His lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without and at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar of incense. So get this picture in your head. There's two parts of the tabernacle, the inner court, so to speak. So there's the holy place, and there's the most holy place, which most people call the Holy of Holies, okay? And we're not going to go into everything that's there, but right before the veil of the most holy place is the altar of incense. That was his job. And, of course, the candelabra was there. The lamp stand was there. Showbread. But the altar of incense was right before you entered in. And it was their job to take those coals and to place them in there and get the fire going. And then they would put these different herbs and spices in there, and it would create an aroma in there. It would create a white smoke, they say, that would come up out of that altar of incense. And so that was his job. That was his lot in life. Now, notice what was happening, though. That picture, and we'll talk about this also, that the picture of the altar of incense was a picture of prayers of the people and also of the priest. Very important job, would you say? And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But notice verse 11. It says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord." I love this. Standing on the right side of the altar of incense. "And Zacharias saw him and said, 'Hey, what's happening, man?'" No, that's not what happened, is it? It says he was troubled. You think you'd be troubled? I think I'd be troubled. Gabriel comes down and lights into the holy place there, right when he's in there tending to the altar of incense, and all of a sudden the angel Gabriel shows up on scene. And by the way, there was never a mistaking who he was, and what he was doing there was going to be made evident through this story. Now notice what happened. He says, "Zacharias saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him." That was a knee shaker. You could hear Zacharias' knees shaking. Didn't know what was going on, but verse 13, "The angel said unto him, 'Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard.'" By the way, for the angel to know that, he had to have been a messenger that had been before God, to know that the prayer had been offered to God. And it says, and if you read the story on down, it talks about Gabriel standing in the presence of God. But it says, "And he says, 'And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John.'" I love that. The angel Gabriel shows up on scene later on and tells you that it's Gabriel there. And he says that he stands there and says, "Now, Zacharias, God's heard your prayer." Amen. Yeah. If you're in the true South, it's prayer, right? "God's heard your prayer." And I'm in Texas, so I add a little more emphasis on prayer. But if you go on the other side of Mississippi, it's prayer. And it's just one prayer. It's almost like a you know. You get too far south, they just grunt, you know. But here he is. He shows up on scene and he says, "Zacharias, God's heard your prayer. And here's what your prayer was. Your prayer was that you have been praying for years that you and your wife would have a son. Well, guess what? Now's the time." Hallelujah. He's gray-haired and maybe not as limber as he used to be. But God was going to do a miracle because of a man and a woman praying and asking God to do the impossible. By the way, you know what was said to Mary later on in this story in verse 37? He says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." God can cause a person out of their baby days to have babies. God can take a virgin woman and make her have a baby of the Holy Ghost. That is our God. And tonight I want us to go back, if you will, verse 9. And it says, according to the custom of the priest's office, it says, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So tonight we'll preach on this, your lot in life. Your lot in life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. Father, I stand before you imperfect tonight in my own self. And Lord, I know I've failed you. I know I've, Lord, stumbled along the way. But God, thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you dust us off, you clean us off, and you put us back. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your forgiveness. And Lord, I pray tonight that through your grace, I would be able to preach, Lord, what you've laid upon my heart. And God, I pray that you would just open the hearts of each one here. And I pray that they would receive this message. And God, just ask themselves tonight, where is their lot in life? God, you have a place for all of us to serve you. And Lord, I pray that we'd find that. And Lord, we would do it with pleasure and with joy in our heart. God, again tonight, we give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at John the Baptist's parents here, and of course, John the Baptist would be born a little bit later on. I would say maybe 9 months from now. I was just guessing. But because, you know what, it is amazing that you read the rest of the story. I love how the faith of them, like, we're going to have a baby. Okay. That's amazing to me that God heard his prayer. And Zacharias, and they're described, and Elizabeth are described in verse 6 of who they were, that they were righteous before God. By the way, that's the prayers that God answers. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's why God heard that prayer. By the way, sometimes we go to our closet in prayer and we forget to clean up before we go in there. That laver is there before the altar of incense. We must clean up before we go and approach the throne of God. But the incense symbolizes the priestly work of presenting the prayers of the people and their prayer also joining with them. The Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 2, it says, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice." Zechariah knew that his lot in life was to go into that tabernacle, to that temple, and to burn that incense. Now, they say that what began to happen, and you can read a lot of different things, and I'm not really going to get into it, don't really matter to me, is that they say that these priests show up in the morning. And, of course, there are several different things that have to be done in this part of the most holy place. The ashes have to be taken out. Hot coals have to be brought in from the altar of sacrifice and has to be placed inside the altar of incense. Somebody else, another one, brings in all the herbs and spices that go into that. And they say that what happens is that they cast lots to see who gets what. And I was reading this, and I actually read this from a Jewish person, so I figured he knew more than I did about this. And he said that the reason that they would cast lots for which job that they would do is because they wanted to take out the human element. They wanted to allow God to, it's almost kind of like saying, we're going to go play dice and let God be, you know. You have to be careful with some of the commentaries you read, by the way. But here's what I want you to get is because the word lot simply means this, if you study it out, it means to receive by divine allotment. Or basically, here's what it means. God's will for your life. Your lot in life. What is your lot in life? By the way, everybody underneath the sound of my voice tonight, you have a lot that you need to partake of. You need to find your place in life that God can use you. All of us have differing talents. I can't do what you can do in a lot of areas, and sometimes people can't do what I can do. You know why? Because God made us different. I'm glad He did. I'm glad my wife is not like me. Hallelujah. We'd never have washed clothes. We'd eat off of plastic and with plastic and drink out of plastic every day in my life. But you know what? My wife thinks differently than I do. I'm glad for that. I'm glad God gave some of you different talents than I. I'm glad that God gave us all differing ministries in life. But here's the problem is that some of you have talents and you're not using it in the lot where you're supposed to be. And can you imagine that Zacharias maybe thought, you know what, he was from, both of them, Elizabeth and Zacharias, are both from the priestly lineage. They're from the Aaron's lineage, the Levite lineage, and he has the right to be a priest. And he has chosen to do that. But you know what? Sometimes those guys would look and say, you know what? I'm a priest, but I'd rather be the high priest. You know, it's kind of like an associate pastor saying, I'd like to be the pastor. Until you've been a pastor, and then when you become an associate pastor, you're like, I'm fine being an associate pastor. Right? Hallelujah. Especially when the problems come, you're like, whew, I'm glad there's another office past mine now. Hallelujah for that. But you notice what's happening in this story is that God is answering a prayer of a man that is deemed righteous and blameless, who has been walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. The ordinances simply mean the Word of God. He's been keeping the Word of God. But I want to just, of course, I got to give you 3 points because that's what I do. And they'll all be same letter. You know how it is. But I want us to think kind of outside the box tonight about our life. And our lot in life, because as we look at this story, and we're going to dive into it here in just a moment, is to see where is your lot? Where is your lot in life? By the way, sometimes it's lots in life. I've had a lot of lots in life, you know? And I take residence wherever God has my lot for now. And I serve in that lot, and I enjoy that lot sometimes. And sometimes you don't enjoy them. You know why? Because sometimes in life we do what we want to do and not what God wants us to do. So three things tonight. Number one, I want us to talk about Zacharias tonight. Number one, his lot was verified by God. His lot was verified by God. Now notice verse 8 again. It says, "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office," notice what he was doing, "before God in the order of his course." This was his calling. This was where God had placed him at that time. God had put his stamp of approval upon the life of Zacharias to allow him to go into a place that was holy. Hallelujah. By the way, God has chosen you to do something, and you must see what he has verified in your life. I wanted God to verify for me to be a fireman. That was my dreams growing up. I wanted to be a fireman. I mean, even till this day, if a fire truck pulls by this church or the school out there, I hop up and have to look at it. That was just ingrained in me. I was always I loved it. I loved the fire. And of course, God allowed me to do that for a while. But I'm telling you, that was not my lot in life. Because God, whenever I got there, I realized God had not verified that in my life. Now, I don't know what God will verify in your life. Yeah, you know what verify means? It's when you put your signature on the bottom of that check. You're verifying that there's money in there. Hopefully. If you post-date it long enough. They always have to verify. Well, they don't do it as often as they should. But when you go into a store and you use a credit card, they're supposed to look at your driver's license to verify who you are. Now, they don't do that because we're in too big of a hurry to do that. But they're supposed to verify who you are. You go to the DMV. You go to get your driver's license or go get a tag or something. You got to have all kind of verifications of who you are. Hey, listen to me tonight. Is that God verified the job that Zacharias was doing? God was pleased with how his life was. And can I say is that we must get verification from God that what we're doing and the lot we are possessing at this time is his will and not ours. There's a lot of things I'd love to do. I would. I'd love to do a lot of things. I'd love to be a professional cat fisherman. Amen, Caleb? But God won't verify that. You know why? Because that's not his lot for me. Amen. That would be a parking lot and not a lot that I should be in, right? But see, God verifies. You know, it's always amazing how, and I know I've told this story, but I'll tell it again, is that whenever I felt God was done with me pastoring down in Burnett, I told Diane, I said, "The Lord's done with me." And she said, "Yeah, I filled it too. That's good English. I felt it too." And she said, "You know, well, Lord, open up something." Well, that very week that I said, "Okay, we're done with that," I said, "Lord, just open up doors." Well, I got 3 phone calls that very week. I'm not lying. My wife can testify. First call was a church in Palestine called me and said, "Hey, won't you come candidate for this church?" And I knew about the church, so I really kind of X'd that one off pretty quick. And then the boys home and girls home up in Missouri called me and he said, "Hey, I want you to come be the director of the whole thing." And that one got me because it's all country. And they have a big house and it snows there and they got cattle and 2 fishing ponds. I felt God's calling on that. And then some guy named Eric Crawford called me and said, "Hey, you ever thought about being my associate pastor again?" I was like, "No. Hadn't never thought about that." I said, "I'll pray about it." You know what that means? I don't really want to do it. So I'm going to pray that God don't open that door. So that week, the next week, we were going up to see my brother at the boys' home. We got to the boys' home. I was like, "Can't wait. It's all country. I loved it." We drove up out there. And I was preaching a meeting that time too. And I just weep because I was like, "Lord, this is, God wouldn't verify this is where I need to be." So I was like, "Oh, man." But we had already made plans on the way back through. We were going to stop by. Brother Bob Smith was preaching revival at Heritage Baptist Church on the other side. We were going to stop by and sing, of course. And so we stopped in. We sang. We sat in the audience. And I just began to weep because God went, "Choo-choo. Here it is. Here's your lot for now." I said, "Lord, I don't want to do this. God said, this is it. You know why? Because he got this right here. It's not about what I think I want to do, because I always think, man, that'd be great. And then you get there, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I thought I wanted to work in a hospital. I did that for a little while, and I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. It's amazing how when you're where you're supposed to be, God verifies it. And God says this is where you're supposed to be. Now notice number two, not only did God verify, his lot was verified by God, but notice number two, we'll notice in verse 10, his lot was not viewed by others. His lot was not viewed by others. Now let's remember that he's really inside of a tent. He's inside of the holy place. And here's what happened is that verse 10 says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. In other words, whenever he went into that into the holy place, and he was going in there to put those herbs and those spices upon that altar of incense, and it began to ascend that smoke up, he was in there praying for those people. He was in there praying for himself and Elizabeth to have a child, and all these prayers were going up, and the people were outside of the camp going, I hope he's in there. They couldn't see what he was doing. They couldn't see that he was in there on their behalf and petitioning God for them. They couldn't see that. They had to just trust that he was doing what he said he was doing. They just hoped and prayed and had faith that he was doing what he was called to do. Zacharias could have went in there and twiddled his thumbs, but the people, they couldn't see it. But can I just remind you tonight is that there's some lots in life that nobody's ever going to see what you're doing. But as long as he sees. I'm going to tell you what, I was thinking about this the other day. I love Miss Sue Henderson. I love Brother Henderson. But Miss Sue Henderson's been the lady behind the veil, propping up a man of God. Amen. You preachers' wives, you Sunday school teachers' wives, and you ladies, the only reason we get anything accomplished is because you uphold us by your prayers and by your encouragement. And I can't imagine, I was just thinking of Miss Sue the other day, I was thinking, God, bless her. And I was thinking of Miss Bandy and these ladies that have stood behind the man of God. And yet the man of God, a lot of times, I don't preach behind a curtain somewhere. I'm in the public eye a lot, and God help that. But a lot of times the wives are not. They're behind the scene. Sometimes it's the prayer warriors in the church that nobody sees you in your closet, but God sees you. And can I remind you that if your lot in life is to be on your knees praying for the man of God or praying for your husband or praying for your neighbor, is that it doesn't matter if anybody sees you. It doesn't matter if anybody hears you. It just matters that you and God are in the place where you're supposed to be, that you are in the lot. You're occupying the lot that God has for you. And it doesn't matter if it's out in the public. You know, it seems like everything I do is out in public. We live in a glass house. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in the church that are getting more rewards than I because of what you do in secret. Because some of you, you've been on your knees. There's some of you that have raised kids that have turned out to be good, godly kids. There's some of you that have encouraged other people through cards and all this. I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, a post was made on our, what is that called? Facebook today. About our kids in our school. Lady posted on our Facebook that said, I'm sitting behind your van. And usually that means, oh no, Brother Scott, Trey Marsh driving. Again. But this time, they helped a stranded motorist push their car up into a gas station. And the lady saw that and she posted that. You know what? None of us probably would have ever known that. Would we? But see, Zacharias, every day of his life, went into that holy place. Nobody outside of that could see what he was doing. No, nobody could say, Zacharias, did you do what you're supposed to do? Hey, we saw you offering up those prayers to God. We saw you putting those herbs and those things on the altar of incense. We saw the smoke ascending. We saw you working, but they didn't see him working. They just had faith that he was working. Can I tell you, is that your lot in life may be a lot that's behind a closed door that somebody will never see. But I'm glad we have an all-knowing God. I'm glad He writes it all down in the book of remembrance. I'm glad God takes count of those tears that you cry for those lost souls. There's people in this church I know that take these prayer lists and they pray for them. You know what? We may not see it, but God sees it. Many times in life, we choose to do something because somebody can see us do it. Right? I've been guilty of that. You know, and God help us if we do, because our motives are wrong. If our motives are right, we don't care who sees us. You know, it's just like carrying a track in your pocket. Is you do it because it's the right thing to do. You know, and you slip that track in there, and only you and the waitress or the waiter knows about it. But you know what? God knows about it. Your lot in life may be the lot as Zacharias had. It may be a lot that is behind the holy place. It may be behind the veil. It may be behind the closed door. But can I just remind you that God come by and He'll see what you're doing. God sees what you're doing. God hears what you're saying. The prayer was offered up from Zacharias for his family that they would have a baby. Can you imagine how long he'd been praying? I'm just going to take a guess. If he started praying when they got married, let's just say they got married conservatively at 30. That's probably late in life for them. But and let's say that she's 90 now. So how long have you been praying for? 60 years? He'd been praying that prayer when he'd go in there and offer up the prayer for the others. By the way, don't quit. Don't give up. I've been praying for my father over 20 years to get saved. Oh man, I've seen God work. I've seen God work miraculously. My brother was prayed for, you know who taught me to pray? My mom did. My mom prayed. My grandmother was a prayer warrior. I believe her and God were on the same page. I'm telling you, she it was amazing. You would find her, we used to play hide and seek. You'd go hide in her house, her bedroom, and you'd go in there and her Bible would be in there, and it'd have pages all stuck in it. Have names written down. I couldn't read them hardly, but she knew who they were. And she'd have a little date out beside it. Tell you what, that may not have been seen by all human eyes, but her lot in life, she occupied it well. She occupied it well, and Zacharias did too, and God answered him. Let me give you the last thing. The last thing, not only was his lot verified by God, his lot was not viewed by others, but his lot was visited by the Lord. Verses 11 through 13. His lot was visited by the Lord. I know I kind of hit on this, and I'm just going to kind of hit it again, but the angel of the Lord came by and said, God heard your prayer. God heard your prayer. You've been steadfast, unmovable, and you've been praying for this for many, many years, and God said, today's the day. By the way, can I just add this freebie in there? Why did God wait so long? You know why? It's because it was His will. But if I could just throw this in there, is that I believe God waited because the longer He waited, the more impossible it became. So He could get all the glory. And not Zacharias and Elizabeth. Whenever Elizabeth walked into town, matter of fact, he hid her for 5 months because he's like, they're not going to believe what just happened. Right? But can you imagine Elizabeth come walking into town? And they're like, I would say some names in here. Some of y'all got pregnant, we'd all be. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. If your wife came in here and was pregnant and they saw that, they would know that that was not because man, but that was because of God. Amen. And if you occupy your lot in life, people are going to see what God can do. They're going to see what God can do through you and what God can do when people offer up their prayers and people occupy their lot in life. God will come by and visit Heritage Baptist Church. He said, if my people... What? The main thing is humble themselves and pray. We have forgotten about prayer. We have forgotten about the one means that we have to speak to the Lord. Why do we neglect the easiest thing? And I said we. You know, you get through the end of the day and you're like, I haven't talked to the Lord today. He'll talk to me tomorrow though.
right? God, help us. This prayer seemed impossible, but God came by and visited them. Notice what it says again. Verse 11, it says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled." And you imagine? "And fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said," here it is, "and the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias." I love that. He knew his name. He knew his prayer request, right? He said, "For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife," he knew his wife's name. There's some people here, we have trouble figuring out who the wife, what wife's name or the husband's name. I have trouble all the time. Like, now, what's his name again? But he knew his name, knew his wife's name, knew what his prayer request was. Notice what it says, "And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a" what? "A son." Very specific. Very specific prayer that was offered up. Hey, the angel could have came and said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." But God was verifying that his specific prayer had been heard. That the heir of Zacharias was going to live on. By the way, just to give you another nugget, John the Baptist was prophesied in the Old Testament to come. So God had to keep his oath that he had made in the Old Testament. Ain't that amazing? God was right on time. Elizabeth and Zacharias thought, "Man, God's running late on this one." God said, "No, I'm right on time." Sometimes you don't get visited by God when you think you ought to get visited by him. But you will get visited by him right on time. There's been times I've been like David. David said, "Lord," or take Job. Job prayed. David and Job prayed the same prayer. They said they looked to the right, and the Lord was not there. Looked to the left, he was not there. Behind, forward, he was not there where he was before. And they said, "We don't know. It's like the Lord just dissipated." But you know what? God always showed up right on time, didn't he? God is never far from any one of us. We realize that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But sometimes he allows the shadow of life to come between us and him just to remind us that he is still God. And he shows us that he loves us by his presence. By the way, I'm glad that he is present tonight. Prayer seemed impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Tonight, let me ask you, what is your lot in life? Have you found it yet? You know what? Sometimes it's hard sometimes to know the will of God. It really is. Sometimes it takes a lot of prayer in life. But can I say, one day God's going to verify where your lot is. And that lot he puts you in, it may not be the glamorous lot. It may not be the lot that you've been dreaming of. It may not come with the cameras and all of that kind of paparazzi. It may just be you behind a closet and praying. Maybe it's you that are upholding the man of God, or you that is encouraging the man of God, or you that's encouraging that Christian that is down and heavy laden and burdened down. Maybe it's you that are just there that shows up when the door is open. Maybe it's you that should just be in the choir. I direct the choir, so I got to pick on that. Maybe it's you that needs to occupy your lot in Sunday school. Maybe it's your lot. I don't know what your lot is. I can't tell you. I wish I could come to Brother Shuler and say, "Brother Shuler, here's your lot." Now, I do know that his lot's going to have a guitar in it. He's too good not to have a guitar in his lot. Amen? Just don't be in the parking lot with your guitar. You need to be where God wants you. And God will verify it. And God may not be a visual lot. But I want to tell you, if you'll just get where God wants you and you do what God wants you to do, he'll visit you. In his time, he's going to answer those prayers. In that time, whenever you think I see people and it breaks my heart. Don't you hate it? I know I do. I'm speaking candidly. Don't you hate it when people are going through something and you can't help them? You can't just go up there and snatch it away from them? Especially when it's our kids. Sometimes I look at Bailey and I'm like, "Man, Lord, I wish you'd just make my feet like hers and give her my feet." Her feet are turning in so bad. I know it's got to hurt. Sometimes I see some of you going through things and I'm like, "Lord, would you let me change places with them?" Because I can pray for them. I shouldn't say all we can do is pray. That's the greatest thing we can do. But sometimes, don't you just feel like, "God, I wish I could do more"? But what we need to do is get on our knees and pray. You know, Bailey's name, I don't know how many times a day Bailey's name gets offered up in prayer. But it's several. Usually when I say her name, she answers me. And, right, Bailey? Yep. That's all we got is, I thought she'd say no, but she said something. Usually whenever I say something in church, we hate it when pastor pauses and asks a question. He's like, aren't you glad you're not lost? And Bailey will be like, no. It's the only word she knows. Sorry, we ain't taught her yes yet. But you know, I know this, is that God's in control. Because I know I'm where I'm supposed to be at Heritage Baptist Church. I love when people ask me, you're not leaving us, are you? I'm like, no. Why would I leave my family? Now, if God tells me to leave, I'll leave. But God's not told me to leave yet. Some of you went, man, I thought I'd get rid of it. Some of y'all need to pray more. But no. But you know what? I'm where I'm supposed to be. And you know what? You're where you're supposed to be. You know what's going to happen? We're going to have Acts chapter 2. They were all in one place, one accord. That means they were in unity. That means they were where they were supposed to be at the right time, doing the right thing with the right thoughts. Hallelujah. And you know what happened? God showed up. God came by and gave them a visit. You know what I'd like to happen Sunday? I'd like God to come by and give us a visit. Well, wouldn't you like to see all these altars filled? Just people crying out to God. I'd love to see the doors. People waiting at the doors when we get here early Sunday morning. Like, man, we didn't think y'all was ever going to open these doors. Wouldn't it be nice if our churches looked like Black Friday? Y'all see the videos of those crazy people? I mean, they're tripping over each other. They ought to show that on Sunday morning, people coming to church. You know? What is your lot in life? Occupied until He comes. He has something for you. You say, preacher, I don't know what it is. Well, guess what? I don't either. I'm not a prophet. Right? But I know you can find it here. And you may not get it the first time. You pray, keep praying. Say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in my life. God, I don't know where my lot is. God will show you. God will show you where your lot is. Let's stand tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you. We thank you that you would choose to use us. Lord, thank you that you would choose a vessel that, Lord, many times has not been what it should be. But God, how you can make it, you can clean it and use it. Father, I think of young guys like Russell Abrams, Lord, that kids growing up in this church. And Lord, to see them young, Lord, man would have never thought they'd be a preacher. And then Dylan Wilsons and Caleb Crawfords. But God, how you've molded them and used them in the prayers of their parents and the prayers of this church. God, thank you for using us. Thank you that you would give us a lot in life. Lord, we ask that we would occupy it. Lord, certainly tonight, there has to be somebody here tonight that just maybe is not clear what you have for them to do. But God, maybe tonight, Lord, they would just come and just surrender their life to you and just say, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll do it. And God, we know if they'll do that, Lord, you'll speak to their hearts. And God, we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Hymn 155.